chapter 25. That's where we are, right? Now, what I will do today is to go through 25 and 26. But let us start from 25. I'll highlight a few points there, and I hope that we'll all be blessed by the things that will be highlighted. Now, from verse 1, it said, now remember in 24, this woman had died, Sarah, and then we discussed last time about the way each wife was chosen for Isaac. Now, after the death of Sarah, chapter 25, verse 1, Abraham took another wife, and her name was Keturah. And then in the following verses, the children born to Keturah are listed. And please notice the fact that Midian was one of them. And then in verse 4, he listed the names of the sons of Midian. All right? Now, Abraham now did something in verse 5. Now, Midian is important because, you know, I told you something earlier as we were speaking. You will see that this account were written to highlight some important points, especially the life of, that is, as concerning the life of the children of Israel. That Moses kept on talking and explaining why some things had come upon them, why their lives were going in a particular fashion. So it was very important that it was kind of appropriate, that's a better word to use, that Moses emphasized on some things. Now here, you mentioned the fact that Abraham took another wife, and then of all the sons born, of all the children, let me use that word, of all the children born to Abraham by Keturah, he now picked out in verse 4 the descendants of Midian, because those ones are important in their relationship with the children of Israel. And don't forget that the wife of Moses was a Midianite. Can you remember that? Yeah, the first wife that Moses married was a Midianite. All right? And it was Jethro, yes, that came and gave him some counsel, which turned out to be the exact plan of God for his life and that particular season. So here he highlighted again the relationship that they had with Abraham, the Midianites. So the Midianites were also descendants of Abraham. You know, as I was studying and looking, something else came to my mind. You will see that when Isaac was going to get married, his father emphasized that he had to marry one of the blessed people. What I mean is that, you remember that Shem was blessed, Japheth was blessed, all right? And then Ham was cursed. Now, Abraham, when his son was going to take a wife, it was important to him that he went and got a wife from his own relatives. And you see that Rebekah was also a descendant of the father of Abraham. Do you understand? Was a descendant of Abraham's brother. Okay? Now, I was thinking about that. The Bible said these things were recorded for our learning. Now, why did the Bible always emphasize this? Now, so I was just thinking that why is this so important as Christians? Now, you see these people, now they used to make a blanket statement. That is, these guys from this area, don't go near there. These guys from this area, don't go near there. And I will say this just to help us. Sometimes people argue out of ignorance. That they, when they want to discuss some things, their premises are faulty. Let me give an example. Somebody will say that, look, in this place, we don't marry from there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, some will argue that that is archaic. This is modern day. Now, that's a very faulty premise. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a very faulty premise. That is, the modernity of the days does not change the spiritual reason why certain statements were made. I don't know whether you are following my point. Now, if you see somebody tell that wives from here are terrible. Now, it's based on reason. Now, I'm making this statement with care. And, you know, I'm being very careful. Because people will hear a small thing now and then they go and blow it bigger than what you said. All right? Now, I agree. There are people who just make up their minds that for certain reasons, some people are not good enough because of personal experiences. One sister told me in church the other day that her father said she can marry from anywhere, but she must not marry from Yoruba land. I said, it must be a personal experience. Now, she's from Enugu State or something. It must be a personal experience. Do you understand my point? The man must have had his issues. Maybe he lived in Lagos and a number of Yoruba men defrauded him big time, and since then, he hasn't forgotten them. He hasn't forgiven them. Now, there are people who make statements like that. One of my friends said that his dad didn't want any of them to marry from from Yoruba land, because now when he gave the reason, I'm a Yoruba man, right? So I cannot tell you that some things are very, very silly. You know, they lived in a place in Lagos where most of the women around were not good women. What I mean is that these were not good people who took very good care of their families. They emphasized more on what they wore than what their children, all right? How their children developed or what the children got. So you now form a, because you lived in one area of Ekati in Lagos, you form an opinion of like six states that's in current day. Now that is very, very silly. That doesn't make sense. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Because some of those things you say, they are not based on, let me use the word, spiritual truth. They are just based on personal experiences which may be faulty. You can go to, like when I was growing up, you know, it's very funny. I believe that people from the East were very, very nice and very generous. Do you know why? Let me tell you the reason. There was a bakery very close to our house, and all the workmen, now I don't know whether they were Igbos. I can't remember now because, you know, very small. So people who are not from here, you don't know. They could have been from Calabar or Port Harcourt. You don't know. All right? But then what, we just had something in our minds that those guys were nice. And our own people are generally very, very wicked. Now, the reason being that we're children, we'll go to the bakery to go and pick flour to use to make, you know, to pick dough that's bad, that we use to make, we use it like plasticine for making shapes and all of that. And those guys were always very nice. They would allow us enter the bakery. We saw where they baked bread. Sometimes they actually gave you a hot bread to eat and all of that. So the thing was formed in my mind, all right, in our minds, that they're all very nice. Then we also found something in our minds that people may need to go to school. Do you know why? Because all the traders in our place, do you follow my point? It was, for you know, I mean, Yoruba man, school is you must, if, either you go to school or you die. There's no. But we used to see guys who would go to school, and my mom was a school teacher, all right, in their school. But she used to quarrel with some people that she would ask to talk to maybe their master or their parents, because this boy is intelligent, but the boy is supposed to just get up to primary six and then he drops out because he came to that town to learn a trade. He came to learn trading. Are you getting my point? So he came to school to learn how to read and to write, how to count. You make sure he knows arithmetic very well. After that, they drop the guy to school. He's down in the shop. So we grew up with that thing in our mind that these guys don't go to school. But that's because those who came to our end, yes, they are not the school-going types. They are the trading types. So once they got their primary school, primary six issues, and I mean, they leave the rest of the, I mean, primary school, you see a lot of them. Time for secondary school, they all vanish. You go to the market, and then I also believe that they used to have a lot of money. Because for a man trading in money, we always had money. Now, I'm just using all of this to explain that. We were just form ideas, all right? But now, having put that one aside, okay, these personal silly ideas that different people have, now, there are things that are based on spiritual truth. Are you getting my point? Now, I will not try to give any example for certain reasons. Now, so some people not knowing anything spiritual, they say that is archaic. Now, this interesting part is not really so. As I was meditating today and I realized I'm going to teach that on Saturday, that when it comes to faith, I'm talking about the law of faith. Do you know that Jesus said that anything you can ask for, if you can believe that you have it, you have received, you most certainly have it, right? Now, can you now pray that God should create another heaven for only you? You are getting what I'm saying? Now, I want to bring out something here. Okay, the words of Jesus, are they no longer true? Now, let me tell you, they are true. It's just that you cannot believe that which is not true. And I said that one in person last Saturday. It's not possible to get to the position of faith concerning that which is not real. Faith is not, that persuasion of faith is not an imagination of the heart. It's an experience in life. I don't know what I'm saying is making sense to you. It's an experience in walking with God. It's an experience in moving in life. So, if something does not exist in reality, it is not possible for you to have faith. That is, you cannot build up your faith to that level. For example, no matter how much physicists try, they can never accelerate any particle to be faster than light. How many of you did science up to that level? You understand the point I'm trying to make? Yes, the laws of life don't allow you to accelerate And in fact, the truth is that there is no matter that you can accelerate to the speed of light. You can keep approaching, all right? But you never meet up to it. Now, for those who understand science, there's a particular, Einstein's equation that makes it impossible. Because the amount of force, now, this is just, by the way, the amount of force you need to now accelerate just before you hit the speed of light, it gets to the order of infinity, and you can't generate that amount of force. Are you getting my point? So you see, there are limits in the realm of life, in existence. There are limits. Therefore, you cannot, that is, the physicists cannot believe that we will accelerate this particle beyond the speed of light. It is not possible. Listen, there are things that are not possible. I like what the reason I said, Paul Getty. I was reading one of his books. He called one chapter in there was titled "The Imp of the Impossible." Now, till today, I don't know whether the imp there is for monkey or it's just the first three words of the word impossible. I don't know. But he was trying to explain that there are things that are not possible. That he was going to talk about most things being possible, and that people call impossible actually some things that are possible. All right? But he said, before he says that, he should please let you know that he knows that some things are not possible. That he used to have a manager who would tell you, he likes to promise things. He said, okay, deliver so and so thing, we want it delivered in 5 days. And the man would say, no problem. He said, everybody in the industry knows that that thing is not possible. Nobody on earth can deliver it in 5 days. And that man never proved them wrong by delivering. It's just I kept on making promises and breaking promises. Very soon, he had the reputation in the industry of being one man who could never keep his word. And finally, Paul Getty said he had to sack the man. Are you getting my point? That is, some things are indeed impossible. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? I'm using the realm of natural things to explain. So now, when we're talking about faith, therefore, you will think about it, that it is not possible, therefore. And I said that thing before, God is all wise. You can never think ahead of him. It is not possible. Everything you can ask God for are things that actually exist spiritually. So your faith is built up as you discover the reality of the spiritual realm. That's what faith is. As you discover the reality of that which is really, really real, all right? In this temporal world, your heart is firm and solid concerning what you're expecting. For example, I've said this again and again. It is so easy for me now. You know, that's why I told you that I'm receiving 1 billion. No, that thing I'm saying, you'll soon stop hearing me say it. All right? Not because I've changed my mind, but because maybe the topic will have changed. But my heart can't change about it. Because I have observed events in life enough to see how God works. And I've explained to you that God helps you build up your faith. If God wanted to increase your faith suddenly, that's what the Bible calls the gift of faith. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It said, concerning spiritual gifts, King James says, but more appropriately, concerning the things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. He said, there are diversities of manifestations, all the same God. There are different kinds of workings. In answer to some is given what? Faith by the Spirit. That is, God can release a manifestation of a spiritual manifestation which makes your heart very convinced and persuaded about something. Now, the most important way by which God can do it, I told you, or let me say, the one that works most is that matter of vision. Do you understand my point? If you have a vision, let me give you an example. Let's assume you are going out at night, all right? And you hear that the roads are very dangerous. There are thieves. And then you are stranded. Something happened. You have to get it from Oka to Enugu. And the time is 10 p.m. It's getting between maybe around 11. And you know it is dangerous. Even though there are mobile police checkpoints on the road, but at least they will be a few kilometers apart. You understand? So if you in kilometer 1, there's a checkpoint. There is in kilometer 8, there's a checkpoint. Between kilometer 1 and 8, there are several points where the boys of the night can come and, you know, harass a man. You are getting the point I'm going to make. But let's assume as you're about to set out on your journey, you entered your car, then for a second, you look to your right, and you saw, you know nobody else can see it, but you just saw one guy who's about 7 foot, weighing about, your assessment, about 150 kg to 160 kg, and he looked like he was kind. You just look at him, he had the golden belt and a shining sword, all right, stuck into the belt. You look to your right, you see one. You look behind, there's another one right behind, sitting on the boot of your car. Just cross leg for there. The shockers will not go down. You understand? All right? As soon as you close your, as soon as you enter the car, then breeze blows. But as you look, to the average person, the breeze shut your door. But you saw one of those, another of those guys close the door for you. Then you blink, you don't see them anymore. Do you know you will drive that journey? No. Even if you see Amrabas are breathing in front, you say, wait for me at the car. Because, you, no, now that's just it. A while before that, you were a trembling and fearful person. But now you're, oh God, you are so sure of it. When someone says, hey, you come down, you will lose it. If I open my mouth, you are dead. Aye. You know, the confidence with which you will speak. Why? Because suddenly you had a vision. Let me just, by the way, read. I want to recommend three books you should read. Read Angels on Assignment. That's a true story, a real thing. Then read these two novels, Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. You will understand why I told that story. Now, so I'm saying that, you see, faith, therefore, is as you discover, you get the point? The things that are in the realm of the spirit, and there, things are real. That's anything you want on the earth first exists there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So your faith is built up as the realization and an understanding of that area becomes clearer to your heart. That's why for me, I told you that it's so easy for me to believe that a young man who is currently maybe is 21 today can in the next 10 years give an offering of a billionaire. Why? Because he said, but he doesn't have a British passport. So what? I just know, I mean, in righteousness, you know, the understanding is too clear to me. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. So, I can believe it. That's why you cannot cook up an imagination of that which does not exist in the realm of the spirit, and your heart will be able to rise to the position of faith. It can't. Because the highest faith is built, is shown, or let me say, is manifested when your eyes, spiritual eyes now, are able to see something. Alright? And if that thing doesn't exist, your spiritual eyes can't see them. Your spiritual eyes are not actually eyes of imagination. They are eyes that perceive that which the physical ones can't see. That is, the things you are perceiving are actually real. Do you follow? You follow that? Alright. Now, why did I go into all of this? So sometimes people have arguments, eh? And they are based on faulty premises. You say that, okay, these things are cake. It doesn't. No, listen, my friend. If something exists before, and you have not done anything to make it become ineffective, the fact that you made up your mind that it's okay doesn't change the fact. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? Yeah, there's a reason I'm saying this. So you see that, so sometimes when traditional people hold on to certain things, modern people want to throw them away and find themselves back in bondage to those things. Are you getting my point? Now, bring out something. Am I saying people should not start leaning down to what is traditional? No. I am saying that when you speak, you must understand the premise you are using. When I denounce traditional things, causes believed by people who say that these people from here are like this, I always add one thing. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature. Are you getting my point? Believe me. There are places, let me use as a practical example. There are places, maybe somebody will say that, look, women from here are terrible wives. And I have observed in life, okay, that if a woman is from here, she's likely to be a terrible wife. Now, and the reason is not because you are judging everybody's character. Do you get my point? Because of one person's behavior. It's just that there's what the Bible calls, let me use the word of Reverend Chris Okotie, the iniquity of the people. There are people that their culture is iniquitous. Let me give you an example. So I don't want to mention names because some people, you know, people may be from those areas. A particular part of Nigeria, somewhere in the middle side of Nigeria, where the culture is promiscuous. Now, get my point. It's not as if the individuals are bad people in the way we look at it, but the whole mindset is bad. According to Christian standards. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right? That is, I mean, one guy told me about a young man who went there to serve. And then while serving, as soon as he came, he met one girl. They became friendly. The father had a big compound, and she had an apartment in her father's big compound. And this young man packed in and started living with the girl, and passes by the girl's father every day, and greets him good mornings, and continues his way, and lives there for the year. At the end of service year, he waved them bye-bye, and the father waved him bye-bye. That is, he wasn't thinking he was going to marry the girl. He wasn't bothered about whether this girl is marrying this guy that she's living with in his house for almost a year. And she just waved them, bye-bye. And that's it. And that young man will come into the same house, live with the same girl the following year. And when he's going again, the man will say, bye-bye. Now, I'm coming to something. You may find somebody from there who now grows up, or he lived there a bit, moved around, and is currently living in Lagos, where such things are probably not acceptable in the culture. But the truth is that in the depths of his heart, he hasn't changed. So, I mean, I remember when I was in... My wife is from Delta State, Urobo, all right? And a typical Urobo man must marry multiples of wives. A typical one, all right? My father-in-law is a Catholic. He said when he married my mother-in-law in the Catholic, there was family meeting on the matter. Because they understood that being a Catholic, that is, he's married this woman, that's the last wife he's married. And that was his first wife. So they knew that something was bad. He told me this himself. They called a family meeting. What did this woman give you to eat? Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. So if you meet somebody from a particular place, and then in their hearts, now let me say it like this. Because Paul said like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, there are three ethnic divisions of men, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. Now, amongst the Gentiles, there are different segments. So each one has his own iniquity. It's what the Bible called the iniquity of the Amorite. We discussed that one before. All right? And each person's iniquity begets judgment. Now, generations persist in the iniquity of their fathers. They tend to. Now, I remember why I told that story of the robots is that one young man, when I was in second year on campus, we lived in the same room. And he was the president at the point in time of the Robo Progressive Students Union. You know what I'm saying? And one day he was talking, listen, you know, he was a university student. He was speaking one day, we were discussing, he told his friends, no, wow, no, he must marry more than one wife. He cannot marry one wife. He was in university. So you see, being educated doesn't mean jack. Are you getting my point? Because education does not make marrying more than one wife iniquity. Do you get what I'm going to say? It is the knowledge of God. It is the principles in Christ Jesus that tells you that a man should be content to rejoice with the wife of his youth. So if you have not believed in Christ, that Christ Jesus, we should expect nothing drastically different from your life. That's what I'm going to say. Please, are you following what I'm going to say? So you see, according to those ethnic divisions, if a man is not a Jew, he's a Gentile, all right? So he has the iniquity of this Gentile group in him. And he's not in the church of God. That thing is with him. Now, why am I saying this? Therefore, I'm a single man, no, let's say I'm not a believer, all right, and I have a friend who's not a believer, and who, with my understanding, which is not likely to happen anyway. If you don't know God, there are things you won't understand. All right, what I'm saying. Now, with my understanding of life, now if I had any glimpse of it, and he told me that he wants to marry a girl that's from this particular area, I will call him and tell him people from this area, they have this problem. Now, you may have exceptions. Now, get what I'm going to say. There might be exceptions to the rule. I know another place where generally the iniquity is that marriages there are not stable. That is, I have a very good example. Very good example. You met an American woman. Yet, today, her divorce is not a thing. It's not anything. I don't know whether you get my point. An average European, divorce is not anything. So you see, you can't just say because modernity. Listen, modernity comes with its own iniquity. So being modern can be another Gentile group, modern Gentiles. That is, they have their own iniquities. Some of them are homosexuals. You get what I'm going to say. You are getting my point. So if you see people coming from a particular group, therefore, now, on the natural plane, therefore, if people are having certain arguments, don't contend with them based on their arguments. What I preach, that is why I have never said, you won't hear me say it, that an unbeliever says that he must marry from his area, and I say he's sinning. I have never said it. For me, the problem is when a Christian opens his mouth and says, in our place, we don't do this. I say, you have tapped into the iniquity of your fathers. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if any man, and of course any woman, is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and everything has become new. You get my point. Now, without that premise, don't go around rushing like a fool into a place where angels are afraid to step into. You are getting what I'm saying? I mean, that thing is the truth. That these angels who were afraid to go in, it was because of their understanding of the dangers. But those fools don't even understand the dangers. All right? Now, they may see a strong man rush in. That one understood the dangers and knew that he had the capacity to overcome the dangers. It is not because he's saying there's no danger. I don't know whether you are, whether you understand what I'm trying to say. That what I'm telling you is the truth. So I want us to understand. Some people use modernity to fight traditional spiritual problems. You want to use modern issues to fight traditional problems. You can't use it. Because the traditional problems are founded on spiritual substances. Are you getting my point? Which is only inactivated by the power of the blood of Jesus. You are getting what I'm saying? It's only inactivated by the power of the blood of Jesus. So if a traditional person says something, if you are not in the power of the... Don't tell him he's talking nonsense. If you don't know what he's saying. Don't say I'm a modern man. Therefore, I don't know whether what I'm saying is making sense to you. Now let's now get back to what I'm saying. So you will see, Abraham emphasized where he wanted the wife of Isaac to come from. And the reason being that that thing had the spiritual connotation. And you will see every one of his people that married Canaanite women had problems. You will see later, the wife of Esau was a Canaanite. He married a Hittite. Are you getting my point? And those are the things that Abraham foresaw. Now, I want to bring it to current day matter. That is why you need, as a woman especially, men hardly make this mistake. I have never seen a woman make this mistake, a man make this error. It's only women that do it. All right? I've never seen a man do it. But I'm not saying men never do it. I just said I have not yet encountered. All right? You say somebody is nice, though he's not a believer, and you want to marry him. You obviously are very foolish. Somebody told me about the counsel a pastor gave a sister in his church and said that, you see, you know, being a Christian doesn't mean you are nice. Is that true of us? It's true. So if you guys not is not a Christian, it really doesn't matter as long as he's nice. That's madness. Depends on him. I said that is the problem when pastors become pastors by promotion, not by calling. No, they are churches. Because you are dedicated and the time has come, you have been there for long. So that was the problem. When that person, I said no, he didn't mean it like that. He said that's exactly what he said. It was a counsel he gave to somebody. I said, this is terrible. This man has no understanding. He thinks Christianity is about coming to church and arranging chairs. And that's what Christianity is. No. There is a power of life. All right? There is a word of God. There is something that is tangible we are dealing with. Now, why am I saying this? If somebody is not a descendant, now this is a spiritual aspect of it, all right? If a person is not a descendant of Jesus Christ, I and the children that the Lord has given him, Jesus said, they are for signs and for wonders. If he is not one, listen, a man, a woman who is a descendant of the world, let me use that word, the problem with such persons is not whether they are nice or not, is that they are a fertile ground for growing iniquity. Are you following my point? You know, I said all of this, but I started trying to explain the spiritual foundation behind Abraham trying to insist his son's wife came from certain places. The quarrel I have with Christians is when they observe the worldly one. Because, you see, the people in the world, they were doing things. I mean, maybe a particular village or tribe, they stood for something. Therefore, marrying from another place for them might dilute what they stood for. Are you getting my point? So they were defending their spiritual heritage when they made certain statements. Are you getting my point? For example, the nation of Israel at the time swore that nobody in Israel would give his daughter to the tribe of Benjamin. And they were bound by that oath. So bound that when the tribe of Benjamin remained only men, they had to tell the men to go and steal wives by force because they were bound by an oath that we couldn't give our daughters to you. So, under such circumstances, if a Benjamin man, handsome, nice, Harvard educated, everything, came and met a Judah lady, and they met in school, and they became very good friends, they came to meet the girl's father, and said, give your daughter to us in marriage. The man would have explained to you that, I like you, you're a nice man. but I am bound by oath. I can't. You will beg the man from now till tomorrow. He will tell you, I am bound by oath. The only condition under which I will do it is when I'm ready to pack away from Israel and become an outcast in Israel forever, never returning here. He said, until that time, sorry. Oh boy, I am bound by what? An oath. The oath, you are only freed from it by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why, you see, Christianity is not a joke. Oh. Are you getting my point? They have a proverb in my place, a very satanic proverb, an evil proverb, and, you know, a proverb born of Satan and devil and, you know, everything that is bad in the world. They tell you that Christianity does not say we shouldn't do the literally, it means the masquerade of our father's house. Now, that's the literal thing. That is, let me tell you, how it goes literally. It says that our faith does not say we should neglect our father's masquerade. Are you getting my point? Now, it's an idiom. It's a proverbial statement. What they were saying is that, yes, you're a Christian, but the things of our tradition, you must not neglect it. Are you getting my point? Now, that thing is a very satanic statement. Don't ever buy it. Don't ever buy it. Because those traditional statements, they are based on certain things that you don't understand. They are idol-worshipping things. They are cults. They are covenants made with demons, which you go and bow to, and you wonder why your life is not straight anymore. And people do, you will see it as we go on. It's one thing I wanted to examine today. I'm spending so much time on this. You will see that, you see, people, they stretch their hands deep into things, spiritually negative things, by small decisions. They don't know how deep that small decision is carrying them. When I was studying before this meeting, just reading some the chapters of the Bible ahead, I realized that Esau started fighting for his birthright. What does that tell you? He did not understand the depth of the decision he took over a mess of porridge. He fought for it so much that he swore that he was going to kill his brother for taking it. Yet, the guy said, you are tired, you want to die. Give me your best right. I said, what's the big deal? Take. I will get to that one today. I hope I don't take too much time. But what I'm saying, I hope you are following it. I hope you are following it. So, you see, such a man, when he makes that decision, I can't give this. Look. That is why, if any man is in Christ, you don't know what it means to be a Christian. Some people don't know. That is, a man in Israel then, let us assume Jesus now came, he will now get up and give his daughter over in marriage to a young man from the tribe of Benjamin. And he will not come under a curse. Why? I am dead to the law. Are you getting my point? I am dead to the oath. I am dead. The young girl is my daughter. The young man is dead to that oath. Both of us have an oath in Christ Jesus. Our lives belong to him. Therefore, no matter the consequence that breaking that oath will have brought, Jesus has taken it. You can go and quarrel with him over the cross. We are free. Are you getting my point? So if you wanted to argue with the man, say, man, be reasonable. This boy came from Harvard. Come on, be reasonable. I mean, this girl has been to Princeton. Come on, be reasonable. You yourself, you were in Australia before. That one I just. You are just arguing nonsense. The only argument you can give the man, which will work, is, listen, my friend, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. That's why my argument, my quarrel, my fight every time is with Christians who hold on to the masquerades of their parents. But were it not for that, now those masquerades, they kill people. You know what I'm saying? No, they cause wahala. But like I was saying, so when Paul said, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever, he didn't say the guy is not nice. He didn't say the girl is not a very fine babe. That's not the quarrel. Alright? Jezebel was very fine. You know that. She used to use very good makeup. How do I know? When Jehu was coming, what did she do? She went to paint. Yeah, you getting my point? So that's not the point. Nobody said the woman fine. That's not the issue. The problem is that an unregenerated spirit, the soul that has not been committed to Christ Jesus, is a fertile ground for growing iniquity. You are getting the point I'm making there. All right, so, you know, I just brought that one up to explain to us again about ancestry. When you say that this person came from here, this person came from there, for the Christian, the issue is that you came from Christ Jesus. Is that okay?